Welcome to The Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by Sober Recovery Center. Finally, a radio show that not only tackles the brighter side of addiction, recovery, mental health, and anything in life that you are recovering from, but also a show with the answers for family, friends, and those who love an addict. Hosted by award-winning radio show host and motivational leader Kim Pagano, Sherry Gaba, a psychotherapist and certified recovery coach, and Jennifer Chastain, an advocate for the community. Tune in for The Brighter Side of Recovery on The Kim Pagano Show from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. They bring you the experts, authors, and professionals that speak to the issues that are important to you, the listener. Give them the questions, and they will bring you the solutions to whatever you are recovering from. And now, here's Ventura County's favorite radio show host, it's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and welcome to The Brighter Side of Recovery, and we want to thank Soba Recovery Center for sponsoring our show here. Also joining us, actually, Jennifer is not with us today, but we've got Warren Broad, and Warren, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. So glad that you are part of our team here, and tell everybody, one, let's just start off with tell everybody a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, as you said, my name is Warren Broad, and I'm the creator of the Recovery in the Now program. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist and life coach, and I specialize in bringing people out of deep trauma and drug and alcohol addiction.
Really good. We're so glad that you are part of our team, and can't wait to chat with you more and involve you in all of our stuff that we're doing here. I do want to invite everybody to listen in. I do want to remind all of you that we do have our 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and we are growing like leaps and bounds, and we are so glad that you're here. Again, for all of you out there, you can also listen on Dynamic Talk Radio. A lot of our shows play there, and they play every day from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and 2 to 3. And you can hear all of our shows on iTunes and KimPaganoShow.com. All of our shows, past shows, are downloaded on my website, KimPaganoShow.com. And again, you know what? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and get our newsletter. And our phone number here, so you can be involved in what we're talking about, is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And, of course, I'm Kim. Sherry is
Hi,
here.
Hi, it's my birthday today.
And happy,
it's
such a happy great, birthday.
Thank you, and it's such a fantastic day to have such fantastic guests on
I
today.
I know.
And I just want to remind everybody, Soba now has a magazine at sobatexas.com/recovery-magazine-today/sobatexas.com/recovery-magazine-today/. We're so proud of that, and we're just so proud to have this recovery show, recovering of everything, recovering from letting go of what you weren't and who you want to be.
Oh, there you go. You said it all right there. Tom, how are you doing?
Everything's well, Kim. Beautiful day.
Very good. Well, I do want to say our first guest this afternoon is Don Jose Ruiz, and he's going to be talking about his book, The Fifth Agreement. And then also joining us today is a personal favorite of mine. I have to tell you, I read her book. I almost feel like I follow her all over, is Melody Beatty, and she is a self-help author, and she's going to be talking about codependent. And
we could not have two better guests today.
I know.
And two guests that get to be, you know, our first introductory
for our show.
What do we call that? Intro.
Yeah, intro show. Yeah.
It.
And of course, Warren Broad is here. We're all going to add a little kind of a little piece to all of this. And again, it's recovering from anything that you're waking up to life. And we all, I mean, if it's not like an addiction, it could be something that is just really holding you back in life. I think that's really what
Things like drama, trauma, people that are addicted to worry, anxiety, and then, of course, you know, substances. But sometimes underneath the substances are all those other things that we're addicted
Depression,
to.
Depression. Yeah. Yep. Warren, any feedback in there?
Yeah, well, I think recovery can take so many facets, and it's great that we're expanding it to that and divorce. I think is something that there's absolutely every person who has gone through a divorce or a major life breakup has to recover.
And it's really about like letting go of those old stories. And I know that Don Jose will probably be talking about that when he talks about his new book and just about, you know, really letting go of those stories that keep holding us back.
And I love it. I hope that Don's going to be talking about an agreement with yourself, you know, because there's times that I wake up and I go, okay, self, I'm going to talk to myself. I need to get on the right path here and I need to start making some changes, you know, food and health and really making that promise to myself that
letting go of the addiction to the negative self. I know he's going to talk about being addicted to suffering. We're going to hear a lot about
that.
All
right. Well, let's bring him on. And again, for anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Really quick before we do that, Tom, do you want to tell about all of our great giveaways?
Excellent prizes here. How about starting off with a restaurant in the collection, a $25 gift certificate for the Yard House, along with that Mission Oaks Cafe, another one that's really, really nice to go to. A whole lot of fun there. Canal Players Theater, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. That's running through April 12th in Thousand Oaks, just off the 101, and that's at Moore Park Road. That's where the Canal Players Theater is. Denise Butler Photography, an hour in studio. You can go a local location, whatever you want, with two people, style consultant too. And finally, one of my favorites, the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, amazing automobiles. And that Ultimate Car Exhibit runs through May 1st.
There you go. And we've got tickets to the big band over at Ronald Reagan Library, and that is March 6th. So we've got tickets for all of that. Let's start off with actually a $25 gift certificate to Yard House. All you have to do right now is call at 805-419-0008. 419-0008. And again, you have tuned in to The Brighter Side of Recovery with the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim with Sherry Gaba and Warren Broad and Tom Spence. And of course, our guest is Don Jose Ruiz. And The Fifth Agreement is his book. Don, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Very happy to be here with all of you.
Well, thank you so much and so glad to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Jose.
Well, I come from a family of Toltec tradition, and the word Toltec means artist, artist of the spirit. So my grandmother, growing up with her, taught me a lot of faith, and my father, learning from her, he made these basic four agreements that changed completely his life, and it's to not take things personal, always do your best, do not make assumptions, and to be impeccable with our word. And learning these traditions, I carry on with gratitude, this Toltec tradition.
I love gratitude. And, you know, so what is the fifth agreement?
The fifth agreement, it is to be skeptical, but to learn to listen. And it's not to be skeptical in a social position thinking, oh, I'm more intelligent than anybody else, I know everything. No, it's to be skeptical of our own negativity. Like saying, if I cannot change, it's difficult that no one loves me. It's to change that mentality, because that mentality is what leads us to suffering. That if we support ourselves and be skeptical of our own negativity, then we are learning to suffer. We are learning to go against ourselves. And this is the most beautiful thing, when we meet the love of our life, and that's ourselves.
Wow. I love that. I've been saying that a lot. You and I spoke a few weeks ago, and when you said that to me, that has just stuck in my mind. I thought about it all day Valentine's Day, about having a love affair with yourself. I just love that.
That's, I love it. Warren.
It's a really beautiful concept, and I really like this idea of reminding ourselves where our mindset should be.
So now, is this something that your family tradition, you know, that you were taught early on? Because some of us aren't taught that, and we go through half of our life and we have to kind of learn some of these new things that we want to use in our life. So was that the case, Don?
Yes. Well, when I was growing up, you know, my family just showed me love, you know, showed me all these beautiful steps that, of course, you know, like our parents educate us, because something that educates us as well is the world, you know, like schools, the neighborhood things. And I got introduced to peer pressure and to fit in with the wrong crowd, let's say, and I begin rebelling. So I remember one time when I went to one of my family's functions and they were taking a break and the apprentices made a circle, and the only one who could speak was the one holding like a feather leather stick. And I was the only kid there. It was just adults in that room. And everyone thought who spoke was telling stories of suffering and victimization. And at one point, it looked like they were competing who had the most suffering in the room. Huh. So when the stick got into my hand, I didn't have no story of suffering to share, but I wanted to grow up fast. And for me, in an early age, to grow up, to be grown up, it means that you have to have suffering and drama and all this negativity in your life. Then little by little, I begin looking for it in my rebellion until I begin lost in it.
So what's really important about what you're saying is that it's not that you grew up with it. In other words, in your family, there was a lot of love and there was a lot of positive support. And so I think a lot of parents that listen to our show that maybe have kids that are struggling with addiction, they have this guilt that it's something they did. So what you're saying is this had nothing to do with growing up or your family. It was just a story you got from your peers?
Yes. And one thing is that if we don't educate our children, someone else will. And I'm so grateful that my father and my grandmama and my mama got me all this good information, because when I was rebelling and I knew their message was truth, you know, because I was hanging with the crowd that I knew, okay, they're telling the truth. And this is when one of my best friends passed away, I was going to be in a car with him, but I wasn't in a car with him, and the car got in an accident.
Mm.
So that opened my eyes, and I said to my father the kind of life I was leading, and I knew I could go with him. I knew, you know, no matter how ungrateful I was or not positive with him and disrespectful I was, he always had the door open, because I know he was the door with love. So when I went with him saying the kind of life I was leading, he said, welcome home. And now it's time to practice the Toltec tradition. And in the Toltec tradition, there's nothing to learn but unlearn how you go against yourself. And that's when my journey began.
Wow, I love that. Warren, you work with a lot of younger kids and adults. And what's your thought on, you know, really kind of keeping the door open for your children?
Well, yeah, I think there really is two parts there. What I find so fascinating in what Don's saying is, you know, that we have a choice, and depending on where we are in our lives, we can assume a story that either, you know, that was implanted from our parents, or we can assume a story that fits better with our peer group. And I think this is one of the things as parents that we want to make sure that we pay attention to with our children is, are they taking on a story that is a negative one? If that peer group is into negative things, we have to make sure that we still install a positive story for them to turn to.
So, Don, that's so true, Warren. And I'm wondering if there's like, if addiction sometimes, and I think it is, there's an incongruency about what you know to be true. Like, in other words, in your case, Don, you had all this love and support and you understood the Toltec traditions, and yet you were sort of living in a suffering state. And so there was this like incongruency. Do you think a lot of that was part of the reason that you got into, you know, rebelling and addiction and so forth?
Yes, because I began looking for it. And like my grandma said, if you go knocking on the negativity door, it will open it and you will find yourself in that kind of life. So it was just a story that I kept, you know, supporting, because it's like drawing a line on the floor and saying one life is negative and one life is positive. So it was like a vicious cycle. I construct with love everything I want, and then I had a bad day and destroy everything, and it was just a cycle until one day I just wake up, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of living in ghost town. I'm tired of, you know, living this way. And that's when I decided to completely change my life. And I was addicted to crystal meth for almost 5 years, and it was just hell, you know, it was just hell. And I said, you know, I don't want this for my body anymore. So the first thing I had to do is remove myself from everything, you know, that helped that addiction be alive. And it's one of the most difficult things, but, you know, I said I couldn't do it. And it's been a long journey. But that's the most important thing, is for you to agree with yourself. Because if you do it for somebody else, it's not going to happen. But when you do it for you, you know, everything makes sense.
Don, is it, and I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. We've got Warren Broad on here with us, and Sherry Gaba, Tom Spence. I'm Kim, and we're talking with Don Jose Ruiz. We're talking about the fifth agreement, and got the four, I guess you guys were a New York Times, you and your brother, correct?
And my father?
And your father. It's a family affair. Okay.
It's his father. Yeah, his
it's your father.
Don Miguel.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. And so do you think anything had to do with self-esteem?
The self-esteem is very interesting, because when you believe in you, when you believe in your word, you begin respecting your word. And when you find your word has power, that's the same thing. If you go into a negative habit, if you support the negative habit, that's going to be your life. But the moment that you feel the power, you feel the full potential in your word, and you have faith in the word, that means that you have faith in yourself, that you can remove yourself from any situation. But of course, it has to be a lot with discipline, because discipline, you know, makes practicing, and this makes mastering whatever you want to master. But But the important thing is to really have faith and believe in you, because you're the ally of your life. No one else is going to be your ally.
So like how many do you times my father, I'm sorry. How do you suggest some of our those that watch or listen to our show that are struggling with addiction, or their families are struggling with someone they love with an addiction? How do you suggest they uncover their truth?
Honesty. Just feel honesty. And the beautiful thing about honesty is that you leads you to a road to free consciousness. No matter what negative things we have done or that we're doing, it's just the honesty to be aware of that we're doing it so we don't do it anymore. And when we are not feeling ashamed or guilt for what we do or for what we have done, you know, we're taking a lot of weight out of our life. And this is where we begin to align ourselves with, to no longer hurt ourselves with what happened in the past, you know. And this is one of the beautiful things to really look at oneself, to see how we're living, and to not let ego or life or, you know, or any excuse, because we as humans, we're just so intelligent that we'll create any justification, any excuse to not walk the truth path that we have in our heart.
Right.
That's why it's important with honesty, say, okay, I'm an addict. Okay, I'm living this way. Okay, I don't want to live this anymore. You know, that's freeing. Instead of feeling shame, okay, I'm an addict, you know, you're going to, you know, you feel sorry for yourself, then you're really picking yourself short. So the beautiful thing is forgiveness, to really forgive yourself, you know, because judgment, from my point of view, is just an illusion that exists before we're born, when we're alive, and after we're dead. So when we find this self-forgiveness and understanding, with our complete honesty, we can completely change the story of our life.
We can be addicted to judgment.
Right. Warren, I know that you have shared a journey in this sense too, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have. And I'm actually just sitting back in awe of Don's words, because he's hitting the mark in such a beautiful way. And this is one of the things that I love about this show, is that there are such heartwarming ways to work through addiction, and there's such heartwarming ways to look at suffering and convert it to something that is positive rather than negative. And I'm just really inspired. It's not very often that I'm tongue-tied, but it's just beautiful what Don's saying.
Warren, so what was one of the ways that you got honest with yourself?
Well, I think that there were really two components, being that, you know, I had hit a pretty significant bottom in that things were starting to erode from underneath me. I was starting to lose connections. I was starting to lose people. And that reality began to become more and more apparent. And then there was really listening to, and Don makes reference to this as well, like listening to my inner truth, that if I really got honest with the person I wanted to be rather than the what I was living, that incongruency had to be resolved.
Wow.
And I had to start lining up with what I truly wanted to be. And because of having seen how dark things can get and having lost a family member to addiction, I had some really serious fear as well, that there was a possibility that I was going to end up dead.
Wow.
And Don, do you believe that we can be addicted to shame?
Oh, yes. Shame is a very strong one, especially, you know, in my personal path. When I was juicing methamphetamine, I got into problems, you know, and I got situations where I got, you know, sexually molested. And then after that, I went even deeper in my suffering. I went deeper into addiction because of the shame. But then after a few years and after years that passed, you know, I buried, I didn't even want to do it. But then I said, you know, I'm still using the people who abuse me to hurt myself, and they're still abusing me, and I don't even see them in my life. So in that moment, I had compassion, because I know that they were stuck in a dream because someone else did that to them. And, you know, that's the whole world. In that moment, I could truly forgive, you know, life, the dream of the planet.
God,
and
that's
that
so
moment,
beautiful.
In that moment, I could just open my heart again and really love myself. And that is what gave me the strength to get out of that world. I don't want that for me, the love of my life anymore. So that was it was like a mother who sees a land that is terrifying, you know, and abusive, and gets the child and just get them out of there. And that's what I did.
Don and Warren, I want to both ask you, is there ever a point where your life is numb? You're numb. You don't know how. You don't know which way's up. You don't know which way's down. And it's almost like baby steps. You just have to almost give in and walk through, you know, almost bare necessity of trying to get back into life again.
Well, I would say to that, you know, I think there are different ways to describe numbness. Numbness was something that I looked for, and it was actually when I allowed myself to start feeling again that this was my pathway out. Numbness was one of the tools that I used to stay in active addiction.
Okay. And Don?
Yes, when I became being numb, I noticed that I became being addicted to other things.
Oh.
I started being addicted to food.
Yep.
I began eating when I was uncomfortable. Then I began addicted. Even I was addicted to meditation because I was more comfortable meditating like 8 or 10 hours a day instead of seeing people or talking to people.
Oh, my God. That's such a great point. Oh,
yeah. And then my dad came to me and said to me, son, you're abusing meditation, you know. It's time to meditate with the eyes open.
I love
that.
And
when you meditate with the eyes open, it begins to embrace life.
Yeah, we call that spiritual bypass.
Yeah.
Where you have like this bypass and you're addicted to being spiritual, but you're not really spiritual.
Right.
Yeah.
You're walking the walk, but not talking the talk. Right.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up, many people saying, fake it till you make it. And I go, that's not honest.
Foundation. So you don't believe in that saying, fake it till you make it.
I don't believe in that because I don't believe in nothing that is not honesty, because when we're honest, we're telling ourselves our truth, and our truth changes to every individual.
Truth
is when we're talking to ourselves.
Yeah.
To say what makes sense, what makes us happy, because when we're happy, you know, we're enjoying life, but we make ourselves unhappy because we're putting investment in supporting addiction suffering to not be happy.
So why do you think, Don, that people, and Warren, you can answer this as well, is why do you think people close off parts of themselves? I mean, never mind being addicted, but even any of the people that are listening to our show right now that just close off the authentic person that they're supposed to be. Where does that begin, and how can they end it?
Well, I would say accountability really plays a huge role in that, that when individuals have to look at the pain they're in or look at the situation that they're in, that they have a choice of either becoming accountable to making a change in their life, or they can, you know, just stay the same. And often the level of accountability that they may have to take to make the change is so large that they shrink away from it.
See, I think they just get addicted to being closed off from their truth.
Yeah.
And I don't know which we would call that.
No, but I wanted to address fake it till you make it. You know, it's interesting. I used that for a long time in my life. And then I realized that, no, I want to walk in my own steps. I want to be authentic with what I'm doing. But I think in one sense, you have to start that way because you have to have that enough strength to be able to lift yourself up. What's your thought on that,
Don?
Yes, you know how to use your power in your work, and whatever makes you support, you know. But you know it's just something that you're using to benefit yourself. And the beautiful thing it is when you have clear awareness of what you're doing in your life. And when you have clear awareness of what you're doing in your life, you know, it's something beautiful. And we don't stop. We don't hurt ourselves with things that happen. Like somebody asked Paul McCartney in an interview, how are you dealing with your relationship that just ended? You know, how are you dealing with the breakup? And he goes, you know, I don't talk about it, you know. And in that moment, he's not supporting anymore a story that can use him, you know. Or it's like seeing somebody that passed away, and then we just see the picture of the person who passed away, and we keep hurting ourselves. And then it's 3 years that have passed, you know, and we continue doing that. And I have to say, honestly, I numbed myself completely for a long time, every experience that I had, but I noticed that it kept creeping up in a certain part of my life. And when I started writing this book, my good friend Eduardo speaks always about my life. It's like I opened up everything. And, you know, it was so freeing to look at my own past and see how I used to be ashamed that I numbed it, I buried it. But I look at it surfacely and I know, okay, this is a memory. And I don't want to be slave to the memory anymore, but that memory is here to serve me. And what it serves me is to have gratitude to why that I'm here alive in this moment. And
right.
This is the most beautiful thing when you have gratitude to yourself, that you remove yourself from a way of life, that whatever inspires you, whatever serves you, that's the way to go.
I love it. Don Jose Ruiz is who we're talking to right now, The Fifth Agreement. What will we find, what will this book teach us?
Well, this teaches honesty and knowing that, you know, that we are the love of our life, that we can totally change our life with our love and with the power of our words. And when we begin respecting that way, it's like my father says, to speak impeccably, but it comes a way that we begin thinking impeccably, because we once again take control of the story of our life, because we are the storyteller. The question it is, what story are we telling ourselves?
You know, going back to that, not taking things personally, which is from the four agreements, how do you do that when you want something so badly? Let's say you have this goal and you want to achieve it, and it's something outside yourself, and you're trying not to get into ego about it, but you know you want this success, you want to establish something for yourself, but you keep taking things personally. What do you recommend?
Yes, I do a little prayer. I say, may life protect me from myself. And every time I have to take something personal and I feel it, it's because I'm having a reaction to it, and I begin to let it go. Because I remember when I used to hold things personally everywhere, and my father said to me, look at you with your personal importance. Everything that happens outside of you in life is because of you. Look at you, you're the star of the show. And then I noticed, that I was taking everything personal because I was putting that in my storyteller. At the moment that I just let the dream be itself, life be itself, I want to control it, control my friends or my families, then I set myself free.
So protect me from myself.
I begin to have the respect.
Wow, I love that. Protect me from myself. I mean, sometimes we are our worst enemies. Warren, speak to us.
We often are, and it is a beautiful phrase, and certainly one that I will be incorporating
me
quite
too.
Quickly. We can love ourselves, but we have to be careful of these parts of ourselves that can do us a lot of harm in the big picture.
Wow.
I mean, do you tell yourself things, Dawn, like, well, then I guess it's not meant to be, or something is unfolding, all those like things that people say, those.
Yeah,
those
it must not be the right time.
Or it's unfolding as it should be. I mean, is there a part of that you envelop?
Yes, sometimes, we create dreams. We create stories and we're in situations of life. And then when it doesn't serve us anymore, we have to learn how to let it go. Because it's like the wind. When we take a breath of air, if we try to attach to that same breath of air, we don't let it go, we will suffocate. So we're here to let experiences come in and out. Meet people, let people go, live dreams, get jobs, different things. And every time we get stuck in that holding the air, we suffocate because we're doing the unnatural thing. We're not letting life flow.
God, I love that.
Let flow, yeah. You begin respecting, and you don't use anything against yourself any longer because you know that you're here on vacation. That's how I see life. It's a vacation after, suffering all this life and being this king victim. I know that now it's a vacation. I decide to live my life completely different.
Wow. I love that because basically what we're saying is, why do we always fight against the universe? You can't fight against your own breath. So why do you fight against other things that aren't going your way?
Yeah. Leave us with one tip, Dawn. Leave us with one tip. The biggest tip that's helped you through your life.
One of the biggest tips is I one time lost my eyesight. But when I gained it back, I realized that I was blind before because I didn't serve the love of my life. And when the first thing that I looked with my eyes, when I got my eyes recovered, I looked into the mirror and I saw my face. And I saw those eyes looking at me. And I said, their reflection is always loyal to me. No matter what I do, if I take it to negative world or positive world, it will always follow me. Now it's my time to be service to that reflection. Amazing. And, we're here to serve the love of our life because in life, I know the meaning of my life, and it's to take care of Jose because I know what makes Jose happy and I know what makes Jose suffer. And how do I know this is because I am Jose? Like everyone listening, know that you are that person and you are the love of your life and you're here to take care of you because nobody else knows what's good for you. And the moment that you wake up is so contagious that it's the best gift that we can give to ourselves and our loved ones, the pure message of our pure love.
Wow.
We're so beautiful and such an honor to have you on our radio show today.
Yeah,
it really
thank
has
you
been amazing.
So much. Warren, finish.
Go ahead. I'm so happy and so honored.
Aww. Yeah, and you know what? I haven't gotten your book yet, but I can't wait to get it. And I really want to share it with everybody. We'd love to have you back again.
Oh, it was my pleasure and honor. Very beautiful. And thank you, everybody, for your message of love that you share with the world.
Well, you know what? Continue. I mean, I love some of the things. Just to recap, having a love affair with yourself. We all need to do that. We all need to honor and love ourselves because, you know what? We are our own best friend. And we all need to be our
and
own
to
advocate.
Serve your own reflection.
Yeah.
I love that. Serve your own reflection. Understand that when you let a breath go, if you don't, you suffocate. So you have
that,
to, you have to
let
really
certain powerful.
Things go. That was very powerful. And protect me from, please, higher power, God, universe, whatever energy source, protect me from myself.
I love it. Thank you so much, Don Jose Ruiz, the fifth agreement. Thank you again for being a part of the Brighter Side of Recovery.
Thank you, everybody, and big hug and all my love.
You got Thanks. It. All right. Thank you again. We are going to take a really quick break. I'm Kim. I'm here with Sherry, Warren, Tom, and our next guest is Melody Beatty, and she is one of America's most beloved self-help authors. I'm telling you, I know I shared this on all my other shows. My husband and I wake up every morning reading The Language of Letting Go and More Languages of Letting Go. I can't wait for you all to hear about her journey and how it started and what her story is. So stay with us. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. And of course, we'll be right back.
So sad, the tears are in your eyes. Come on and come to me now.
Don't. Cafe is a favorite destination for all Camarillo natives. Every plate is made with the highest of quality, using fresh ingredients from local farms, enriching your dining experience. Reserve a spot at one of their elegant wine pairing nights, where Chef Joseph Sharp is able to show off his talents of fine cuisine in a four-course meal paired with four fantastic wines from a local winery. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, and for breakfast through dinner on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. Full bar open later. Call 805-482-1022 to make a reservation. That's 805-482-1022. Visit them online at www.missionoakscafe.com for their full menu and upcoming events.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until, that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
NJ Holt is the owner of Thermal Imaging of SoCal, where she assists people who want to know what's happening in their body right now. Approved by the FDA in 1982, digital infrared thermal imaging is an unsurpassed, safe, non-invasive screening technique that detects the sympathetic nervous system that reacts and responds to pain, pathology, injury, or dysfunction anywhere in the body that may go undetected with X-ray and other tools. Thermal Imaging of SoCal is located in Westlake Village, here to serve by appointment. Call Thermal Imaging of SoCal when you are ready, 310-463-2318, or visit tiofsc.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano, the Brighter Side of Recovery. And I'm here with Sherry Gaba, Warren Broad, and Tom Spence. I'm Kim, and our next guest is Melody Beatty, and one of the America's most beloved self-help authors. And again, I just shared with everybody is I wake up every day starting my day in a positive way with her books. And my husband and I, we kind of got on a little pack of reading The Language of Letting Go and More Language of Letting Go. And she really, it's just daily meditations. I can't wait to talk to her and share her with all of you. I do want to do a really quick giveaway before we bring her on, but MJ from Thermal Imaging of SoCal, it's about you know, really looking at the inside of you and finding out something that before it's too late, an early imaging. So we're going to do a couple giveaways right now, and that is two face imaging giveaways. And so all you have to do right now is call in at 805-419-0008. 419-0008. And so glad that you are here with us. I do want to remind you of our two morning shows, 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and it's all about the brighter side of life. And, of course, you've tuned in to our Brighter Side of Life Recovery from 2 to 3 right here. You can find all of our shows on DynamicTalkRadio.com and also on KimPaganoShow.com.
And iTunes as well.
And iTunes, they're all downloaded there. We're all over. We're growing leaps and bounds. And not only that, it's really just about living your best life. And that's what it's all about. Our next guest, Melody Beatty, is one of my favorites. I can't wait to have her on. Melody, are you there?
I'm so here.
I'm so glad you're here, I have to tell you. I tell you, I know I'm like a
stalker
or something, you know, I know. So anyways, but I love what you're doing. I love the way you tell your stories. I love who you are. And tell us a little bit about your story.
Oh, which part? A long time ago, it stopped being what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. It's what it was like, what happened, and what it was like next.
Wow.
Before the next thing.
Hi, Melody. It's Sherry Gaben.
Oh, hi, Sherry.
Hi. And I just have to say, Melody is one of the most authentic people you would ever know. I mean, I've been through some different journeys, and she's just always been there. Always true, always has the greatest wisdom, and I just want to say how grateful I am that you're here today.
Oh, that's sweet. You've been an important part of my life, too. That's something I think we tend to forget is that we do touch each other. It's impossible not to.
Yeah, and we've got Warren Broad on with us. He is another amazing person, and Warren, you want to speak at it?
Want to say hi to Melody?
Hi, Warren.
It's a real honor to meet you. Your reach goes really far. I'm not sure if you're aware I'm in Canada, and we know of you very well, and especially within the circles. I'm a therapist, and there really isn't a therapist out there that hasn't been touched by your work. So it's an honor to be with you today.
So thank Melody,
it's really my honor to have been a messenger to be. A messenger. I'm starting to write for TV, and I'm trying to feel that same way about myself because I think no matter what job we do, we're in a service occupation.
Yeah.
Mm. And to think of our work as service,
stay
out of our ego and stay in our hearts is so important to doing a good job no matter what we do.
And in the last half an hour, we had Don Miguel Ruiz, and he said something so brilliantly. You know, we talk about ego like you just mentioned, Melody, and he said, what I do when I get when my ego is in my way, I say to myself, higher power, protect me from myself.
I love that. I mean,
is that the simplest way to say it, right?
Yeah.
So often I'm my own worst enemy.
We all are.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We all are. And you know, I was saying that my husband and I read your books every day, and some of the things every day it's always the perfect thing. You know, I mean, and how do you write the perfect thing for all these different...
That book was such a gift to write. It was the most magical book I've ever written. And I don't mean like white magic, black magic.
No.
I mean, it was there was just something wonderful and different about the process of writing that book. It came alive more than any book I've ever written. It surprised me. It touched me. It moved me. It woke me up at places. Writing it was truly my privilege.
You know what I want to ask you is when I come on to my radio show, sometimes I was at a party with a bunch of girlfriends way before I even started my radio show, and they're like, we're so proud of you. And I'm like, you listen? I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding? I love what you say. I love. And I'm like, who am I when I come on that radio show, you know? But it's like you writing your books. Was it written from your heart? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. Some places it just broke my heart open. Like I said, it surprised me. I'd find myself sitting there crying or going, did I write that? I want to read that again.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I love it.
At the risk of going anyplace different with it, it's just been an honor.
Wow,
to
and
write
I know you
for
have
my friends in the recovery world.
Right, you have so many books now. Which book is your favorite, or can you even say that?
Whatever book I'm working on right now has always been my favorite. But if I had to pick one, I don't even know if I can do that.
Yeah, no.
You once said,
but there was something very, very special about Language of Letting Go.
Yeah, I think so.
Was that your first book?
No, my first book no one's ever heard of. It sold 900 copies, and they wanted to bring it back after Codependent No More got on the New York Times bestseller list. and I wouldn't let them. Wow. I said, you can bring it back, but you can't put my name on it.
The best advice Melody ever gave me is write because you love writing. And so I believe that whatever we do in our life, you know, we do it because we love doing it, and we just get out of our own way and just do it. And I think what you're saying, Melody, is that when you write, it's just a higher calling. I know when I wrote my book, it was there were some parts of it that I knew did not come from me. I wrote this one section about hospice, I remember, and it was like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
I think it's a combination in writing of a higher calling, one we're true to, and it's also a question of really learning the craft. Now, I think with it being so easy to publish now for people, a lot of people think writing a book is like winning the lottery.
Yeah.
And it just isn't.
Amazing art at it, I have to tell you. And you could tell it comes from your heart, your soul, your passion. I wanna tell my listeners about what does codependency really mean, and why is it such an impact on so many people's lives?
Oh, it's been so interesting. First of all, the answer to what does codependency mean, I devoted a whole chapter to that in the book, Codependent No More, because there are so many definitions, because it's not in the psychiatrist's manual. It doesn't have the numbers and names for it that maybe other problems do. And yet, more people probably suffer from codependency than from any other one problem in the world.
And do you think it's underneath most addictions?
I know that it is.
Right.
Warren?
It is just there. It is like the fundamental primary problem for many people, and they just don't know it. And it's not that it's a mental illness, and it's not an emotional illness. It's actually a sign that we were being very brave. We were protecting ourselves. But these are the behaviors we call codependent are all dysfunctional protective devices. They work to save ourselves for a while, but we don't need them anymore. We can let them go, and we can realize we have other options for how we want to behave.
And that gives it less shame, you know, if we think we have a codependent issue, you know, by knowing that it worked for us, we needed it. Maybe we wouldn't have survived without it. It just takes away the stigma.
Absolutely. All of these behaviors are part of our wisdom. We were smart. We were sharp. We look around. We saw that we'd get in trouble if we did A, B, or C, and so we intuitively did D or X or Y, because it did save our lives. It kept the trouble minimal for us at the time. But survival behaviors are not living behaviors. They're behaviors, they're like a life raft. It maybe helps us for a while, but we don't want to wear it our whole lives.
Mm. Right. That's a fascinating thing, Melody. I mean, I think it's such a, do you think, or in your experience, have you seen that codependency is sponsored more by the addict, or is it sponsored more by those that surround the addict?
Great question, Warren.
Explain what you mean a little bit.
Well, I've recovered myself, and there were times, you know, through addiction that definitely I felt like I was more the needy one, looking for that life raft that you mentioned. And then I did feel at other times where family members or loved ones were almost throwing out lifelines, even when I didn't necessarily want them, to keep this kind of unhealthy dynamic going.
Yeah, I'm having a slight problem with volume level right now. I'm sorry. And so some of your words faded out.
Okay.
Well, basically what he was saying is that, do you believe that it's the person with the addiction or the family members trying to they're more codependent?
Who's more codependent?
Correct.
I don't know. I didn't know it was a contest.
right. Well, you know, it's interesting.
I think that we all are. However, the problem with the addict is usually the addictive behaviors get the primary attention.
Right.
They're causing the fires.
And that's why I think we're doing this show is, you know, there's other recovery shows. We really want to reach the families on this show. I mean,
yeah.
We want to reach the addict, of course, and the alcoholic, but the families are so important to us. Because
they're in so much pain.
I know. And, you know, listen, I'm pretty transparent, even though it's anonymous. I mean, I'm an Al-Anon, and I only tell people that because I want to help other people. And it, right. if it's saying it helps others, great. An Al-Anon is great, but you know what I see not happening at the rehab centers today and in recovery is not enough emphasis on family and just more emphasis on the addict, which, of course, that's why they're there. But the family needs to be part of the solution, right?
And it must be, because otherwise that person is going to go back to this group of hurting people still locked into the old system. Not because they're bad or wrong, just because that's the only tools they've received so far.
Correct.
And it's not going to help anyone, but mostly because the family deserves to stop hurting as much as the addict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
They deserve to heal. They deserve to not be in this pain. They deserve to know what their options are and that they're really free to start living their lives.
Wow, Melody Biotti is the person that I'm talking
about. Biotti. You sound like a Biotti roll or something.
Yeah,
Beatty.
Beatty. Hi, I'm sorry. Melody Beatty is who we're talking to right now. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. We've got Warren, Sherry, Tom, and myself here, Kim. And we are talking about her books. There's so many of them. We can't even touch on all of them. But I know that you talk about some of the quotes that you say, don't look down. What does that mean?
I'm not sure.
We've got to read the whole quote.
Okay.
Don't look down,
look up.
The steeper the climb, the more important it is to laugh.
Oh, I'm talking about when we're on our journey. And what I'm referring to there is that whole act of looking down in not letting go, but in resignation or looking at our problems or looking at our troubles as addicts, as codependents, as family, as individuals. I think thinking negative comes so easy to us. It's almost natural for us to think negative, to go right to that negative thought, the I can't, it won't, this can't, all of the negatives. And if we knew, I read this quote a couple days ago, and it moved me as much then as it did the first time I read it. It's something about if we knew how much our negative words marred and influenced our lives, we would never use another one again.
Wow. And you know, I want to ask you, Melody, because now you've changed your career path a bit. You've diverted into television writing, and a lot of our listeners are, you know, trying to find purpose and
passion
and
in their
and
life.
To inspire
yeah.
them, you know. Tell us what inspired you to make the shift.
Well, usually I have to be in so much pain that I have absolutely no choice.
Mm-hmm.
But to recover, that's usually when life gets my attention. Mm. And I started out, drinking. My first big horrible thing was when I was 4. I was abducted by a predator, taken off the streets. The police had to come and find me. They had to take me away from him. And as I look back on it, I mean, I suffered from so much abuse during the rest of my childhood that was just like, oh, this is like the starting gate with that. But what's strange to me in looking back at it, it was never discussed once. I can still see myself riding in the police car after the police found me and brought me back to my mom, had me away from the predator. It was never mentioned again. It was never talked about.
It was stuffed.
And I had to walk by that site every day for the next 14 years that I lived there. I was 4 years old at the time. And I think now, oh, all the trauma I had going on, all the PTSD.
Oh, right.
There was so much going on, and we should all be so grateful, because for all of people's complaints about it, we are so blessed to live in a time when we have all this information available to us.
Melody, I bring something up, and of course it's not a negative. It's really I read it on Valentine's Day, and about the box that you put away from somebody when you had moved into your home. Do you know where I'm going with this?
I'm not sure that I remember it.
Okay.
I think 4 meditation goes out, so sometimes
Anyways, somebody had, you lost your son, I lost a baby. I'm so sorry to hear that, but it spoke to me because, you know, you had moved into a home and you hadn't really packed any of your boxes, and somebody had sent you this whole box of stuffed animals.
Okay, I thought that was it.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure.
Oh my gosh, I have to tell you, and you know, that something's, you know, not everything's broken in life, right?
No, not everything is broken. I know that after I lost my son, I was broken.
Yes,
my heart was broken.
Yes.
And there's no way it wasn't. And not only did I lose my son, but I lost probably the next 10 years of my life before I had really, I think, healed my heart as much as it was going to heal.
How do you heal? How do you heal? Because, you know, and Warren, Sherry, Tom, how do we heal? How? What can we leave our listeners with? Something that you've learned? Because your words heal me every day, and I know there's so many people that follow you.
How do we heal? If we could just trust that life is our constant friend and we're not alone. Anytime we think we're alone, we're getting ourselves caught up in an illusion. We are not alone ever. And life will take us to the next healing thing. We have this innate wisdom in ourselves that will bring us to the next healing thing. Sometimes it can be as simple as sitting outside for 5 minutes a day, taking a break from the TV, going outside and connecting with nature. A friend of mine is recently going through her first divorce. First time she's ever been alone since she's been a child.
Sounds like my mother.
And she's so scared. And yeah. she said, I don't know why, I just started going outside every day for 5 minutes. Okay, I'm not telling everyone to go sit outside.
No.
She trusted that. And I remember that somewhere I have a meditation, and I made the point in my writing that something as innocuous as going outside can be just what we need to attune us with ourselves, with a plan for our lives, with what we're supposed to do next. And so my point is, trust these small things that we're guided to do.
It's so true. I mean, I have a little puppy, and I have to admit I've never been great about walking dogs, you know. And all this, and I'm just admitting it out there. And I've been walking this dog, you know. It's never too late. And I swear, just watching the joy of this dog, watching him just so pure, so innocent, so present, has been, like, really helpful in my grieving process. So it's true.
Animals and babies and kids can really help keep our hearts open and help us with the healing process.
Yes.
It's hard to heal when our hearts are shut.
Warren,
I think that's why we see therapy dogs all over the place. They're not bogged down by ego, and they're not bogged down by all the things that tend to trouble us. And what I really liked that Melody was saying, too, is the word that I would apply to some of what you were saying is when we can move into faith, that having a faith that this process that we're going through, for whatever reason, is going to bring us to a better understanding of ourselves or a better understanding of the world around us, when that positive faith can exist at some level, it allows us to start reframing and seeing things in a different way.
Yeah, that's a great point. We can live the rest of our lives thinking we're living a day at a time, but we're living on hope that tomorrow will be better. Mm-hmm. That's not nearly as powerful as what you just said. And that's that faith that where we're at right now is perfectly okay and perfect.
Mm. Melody, do you live your day every day? Is that how, because on your books, you know, your new daily meditations, is that something that you had to learn to do? Or is that something?
I after my son died, I was living a day at a time before his death. After his death, I had to learn the art of living in each moment because I couldn't do a whole day.
Right.
Mm. It was too much. Mm. And like with most things, after we go through a major trauma or change, the things that we find ourselves doing, we think that we're just doing them temporarily, but they're really like the next part of our life. Mm. And learning to be present in each moment was huge for me. And it wasn't hard to learn at all. It allows us to glide through life because we're not waiting for the next hour, the next moment, the next day, the next thing. We are right here, right now. We're not making judgments about what we feel. We're not calling it good or bad. It just is. We are, and it is, and we're alive.
And I even think you wrote a book about this. I remember you talked about being grateful for what we're not grateful for, or the blessing, the things that have happened in our life.
Right. That is so, I mean, if I could give people anything that would change their lives completely. I just had an author from Canada, a best-selling author, fly down to spend the weekend with me. She said that book truly changed her life.
You are gifted. I have to say, I honor and I respect everything that you have done, and I'm so excited to have you on our show. I'm serious. It's from my heart, and I hope that we can get you back. And I love what you're saying. So we're at the end of our show.
If everyone could spend 5 minutes a day being grateful, willing gratitude for everything, especially the things they don't like,
exactly,
they would find out how powerful they really are.
It's a massive reframe. It really is.
Massive.
I love it. And let's leave that. And really, that's truly, I've had my struggles in my life, you know, lost a baby, divorce, there's all those things. But you know what? There always is the brighter side of life. And
there is. And I'm not suggesting, I need to put this in there real quick, I'm not suggesting we should ever be grateful for a tragedy that trivializes it. But we can be grateful that we took the risk of loving that person.
I love that. Please come back again, Melanie Beatty.
Okay, I'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you, Melanie.
You got it.
Shall we meet again?
Thank you so much. We are at the end of our show, and of course, I want to end our show with a moment of happiness. Strong people don't put others down, they lift them up. With that, Warren, Sherry, Melody, Tom, and everybody out there, thank you so much for being a part of our recovery show. And this is truly the brighter side of life. So with that, have a really amazing, great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. But don't